Dylan, my company called Rocket Lab, and Peter Beck built this company, you know, another one of these billionaire entrepreneurs, developing this for probably over 10 years, had a couple of successful launches in them. Right now, maybe once every 2 months, eventually once a month, and then you might eventually once a week. He'll eventually be also launching out of the United States, out of Virginia, with the Electron rocket. That's the power system, pumps on the fuel and the oxygen, run by electric motors. Each one, each nine engines has its own electric motor. That pushes around 50 horsepower. On each has its own lithium batteries, and quite a setup, and tossed into the drink, not recoverable, not like the Falcon 9. Nobody's come close to the Falcon 9 yet with its recoverability. Another flight going up a little over a week from now, on December 18th, Avril Launch Complex 40. That will be another launch of Falcon 9 Air Force. Air Force wants to put up a satellite. Doing pretty good. If that's completed, here SpaceX will have launched a record of 22 satellites. That's the record last year that they made. SpaceX is really underway. They have all this coverability. Plus, he's got a new rocket building called a Starship. Eventually, we'll be going to the moon and onto Mars. Plans on test flying that within a year or so, an early version of it, suborbital, have it come back and land vertically like he does with the Falcon 9. That rocket, completely built, will be almost as big as Saturn V rockets that went to the moon. Okay, last week after that, on Monday, there was another launch by Russia, launch of Soyuz up to the International Space Station. That they took three people up, two men and one woman, Russian pilot, commander Oleg Konienko, radio operator RN3DX. He'll be operating from the station, talking to school Russia and Black countries. And we have a Canadian, probably talking to here in the United States, David Shock, called as KG5FYL. By the way, I'm giving you the wrong list. This list of people that will be going up in March. Wait, correction, I have it right. That's the one that just went up on Monday. Also, plane went up. And plane does not have a call. Call letters attached to her name, unfortunately. Next group that does go up will more that will have call letters. Two of the people going up were on their way up in October on a Soyuz rocket, but that rocket was aborted. Nick Hagan is the pilot of that Soyuz rocket that had to be aborted. There were only two people on board that rocket. Now they're going to give them another chance. Beginning in March, most likely the end of February, they'll be launched up to the space station. Another American woman. Have three on that crew as well. I believe she got a call letter. I'll have to find it. I don't know what her call letter is. Hotch. Very active NASA. Trained quite a few years. I started around 2013. Spent a lot of time down in the South Pole, you know. Spent one of those winter times in the South Pole, and you know, we researched down there for NASA. They'll be going up in February. Like a long story short, we're getting away from the three-person crew again up there on a regular basis, six-person crew until eventually SpaceX starts launching people to the space station, or Boeing. Boeing has plans on launching people as well. Boeing, I think, will probably first launch people. They're scheduled for August, three-person crew. SpaceX is scheduled, I think, for a June person crew. SpaceX next month, probably middle of January, maybe the end of January, will be launching a crewed vehicle up to the International, but with no crew. They want to make sure I have a vehicle that they designed, works perfectly, you know, it's got a seat, it's going to have everything, you can put a crew in there, but they're not going to do it. They just don't launch it from Launch Complex 39A. Water and send it up to the space station, let it dock autonomously to the National Space Station, dock to the forward position of the Harmony node, and on board we'll actually open it up and go inside. Actually, the first American to be inside of a crewed vehicle since retirement of the space shuttle back in 2011. Woman, the one I was just talking about before, won't be on the flight. Phone power. It'll be attached to the International Space Station. We'll have people on board to unload some of the cargo that they send up. It's not going to be much. With that, they'll let it disembark in the station and autonomously. They won't robotic arm right now. Any American flights going up with these uncrewed cargo vehicles, or for that matter, the Japanese flight. Space stations, see this 57-foot robotic arm, reach out, grab them, and attach it to station. You won't be doing that with crewed Dragon, or for that matter, Boeing Starliner. When they go up, they're just going to go to dock all by themselves, not dock as well. Now, let me just stop for a minute, see if anybody has any questions before we go on. WS2N. Okay, we're getting to the end of the year, and one of the things I like to do is CW for straight key night. This New Year's, I'll have also something else to do around 12:30 at night, 12:30 actually in the morning, right after New Year's. Horizon spacecraft will be on its way to a close encounter of a Kuiper belt object. Kuiper belt is surrounding beyond Pluto, a bunch of cold, probably comets or asteroid-like device substances, thousands, actually, maybe trillions of these things might be out there. And I'm sending the Horizon, which visited Pluto a couple of years ago. This object they have is sighted by Hubble originally. Now as it gets closer, it's starting to be able to itself with its long-range camera, called Ultima Thule, plans on getting very close. Can't orbit it, it's going to fly by it, so it's closer to this object than Pluto. Pluto is around 6,000 miles away or so. That's about 2,000 miles away. Alan Stern, who's the principal investigator, spiked up about this, involved with the Horizon program for the beginning, launched over 12 years ago. Some of him, I'm sure, on TV, flyby occurs. No spacecraft has ever gone near a Kuiper object, unless you consider Pluto now a Kuiper object, because it was radiated from a planet. I know, I still consider a planet. I don't know if Ultima Thule has any or anything, but they're going to find out. It's not a very big thing. It only roughly measures about 20 miles wide. Not small, but it's not a planet. That knows what Horizon afterwards. Now this is on its future agenda. Still running the plutonium-238 RTG to power the radioisotope thermoelectric generator. Still have that, naturally. All the way out there, can't use solar panels. Still functioning, everything's working, the cameras work. Plenty of fuel on board to make the new passes. Got one shot at this, though. They're happy the scientists are going to be thrilled when they get the information back. SpaceX had a launch a couple of days ago as well from Vandenberg Air Force Base. The goal was to launch six satellites at one time. Turned out to be very successful. Boosted that they used newer Falcon 9 boosters. Most people know that they have the ability to return these to either floating barge or in the ocean or back at land, either coast of California or on the coast of Florida. One here was flown two times before, so this is the first time that SpaceX was able to launch a booster for a third time. done quite successfully. Watch and watch. Back and landed on a floating barge, an autonomous floating barge, and nobody on board. Now they're going to bring it back and do it again. Block 9, Falcon 9 version. Block 9 is what they call them. Block 5, rather, is what they call them. It's up to 10 times. So this is the third time for it. After 10 times, they'll do a major refurbishing of the rocket booster. Then they'll start it in again, and they'll fly it another 10 times. And Elon Musk believes that the Block 5 version has the capability of flying 100 times and throw them away. They have another launch 2 days later in California. This was interesting. It went up, put the satellite in. Actually, what they put into orbit was the not a satellite, but the cargo for the International Dragon up, like 6,000, 7,000 pounds of supplies on board. But the booster again was supposed to come back, and this was supposed to land back in Cape Canaveral. As I was watching it, when, you know, they have a camera on board the top of as it's coming down. And this booster is like, you know, 15-story building, 12 feet diameter. You're looking straight down, and your fins open up, these fins are four of them, and it catches the wind and helps direct it to where it's got to go. It's got GPS on board and knows how to get back to an exact location on Earth. Looking at these fins, they open up relatively slow, a lot slower than what I know. Sure enough, as it was coming down, getting closer and closer to Florida, in the coastline of Florida, this thing came from outer space, you know, it was like 40, 50 miles up. When it started, but you know, the whole trip down, getting the whole coastline of Florida, roughly where it's going to land, and you know, down from this camera, you can see this, you're turning, it's turning, the whole thing is rolling, not flipping end for end, you know, it's rolling, so you're looking at Florida spin down below, right away, and something was wrong, and sure enough, after that, rocket did come on to slow itself down. Directed itself to sea. It knew it had a problem. It landed on somebody's condominium down in Florida. So it took itself a little out to sea, but came down and it landed like it looked like it was landing on solid ground. It got right near the water. The rocket slowed itself down, touched the water, and the legs opened, and the four legs were open. And tipped over and floating in the, last time I saw it was floating in the ocean. So they said SpaceX is going to go over with their boat, pick it up, bring it back, and want to see if anything is salvaged on that boat. But SpaceX did get the ERS-16, I think called the 16, up to the International Space Station. At the time, a couple of days went by, robotic arm on the space station grabbed a hold of it, and it burst into our station, and presently, eventually will be sent back and land in the Pacific Ocean. It's the only real capability we have of bringing science and equipment back and old EVA suits, whatever it might be, bring it back on the cargo version of the SpaceX Dragon and land in the Pacific Ocean. SpaceX has their own boat out there. They pick it up and they'll bring it back. Okay, with that, I'll just skip a few other things. Just go back to what I was talking about earlier with InSight. Or so ago, we were talking about InSight quite a bit, actually, because it was about to land on Mars. And one of the questions that Dick K2RIW brought up was talking about, well, I wonder if this thing has a microphone on board. And I said, well, it doesn't have a microphone on board. And the next flight that goes up definitely will have a microphone. In fact, we'll have two microphones on board. It'll be the 2020 rover, so we have to wait a couple of years. With that, Dick said, well, you know, since it's got the seismometer equipment on board and all kinds of weather stations and this and that, are they able to actually record the sound of something, you know, from the spacecraft sitting on the ground? You know, I haven't heard it, that they planned on doing that. Sure enough, a couple of days ago, that's exactly what they did. Why, two pieces of equipment, the seismograph, it's going to be eventually put onto the surface right now. It's still sitting on the deck of InSight. And they also use a barometer. They have a very sensitive barometer to check air pressure on board, also on top of the flight lander. And what they did is, you know, there's these big 7-foot diameter solar panels on this site. Wind goes by, it actually makes noise because of the solar panels working like a big ear, kind of like amplifying the noise of the wind that's, when that's going by. It's 15 mile an hour wind, they figured out the speed of it. When they use the seismometer goes up to around 50 hertz. Pick up anything below that, which is just on the threshold of what a human took that information, they sent it down and processed it. Stay with a big woofer or earphones, you could hear this thing real time. I tried listening to it and I couldn't hear anything. But if you on this website, this NASA website, then they have a couple of other ones that you can also listen to. Next one after that, you can hear pretty good. And the one after that, it's very good. What they did is they took the noise that they heard and increased the speed. Essentially, they multiplied the frequency really by 100. You hear the noise going by, and it sounds like wind, you know. Interesting to listen to. It's the first time we're able to actually hear anything from another planet. Naturally, you can't do it from asteroids. We've landed on, like, Eros, or, you know, we successfully did that. Mars, we've landed on many times. We've landed on Venus. But no microphones. But this way, they're able to get that noise and actually convert it to electrical signals back to Earth. And they also use it in conjunction with the barometer that's on board. Also sitting back, scientists explained this. It was kind of teleconference. It was a news conference, but you know, there were a bunch of telephone conversations between the scientists. People asking questions. And the guy said, when you hear something, what you're really hearing is the changing of air pressure as it's hitting your ear. By using this very sensitive barometer, really. They record that in conjunction with the signals from the seismograph. Isn't put onto the surface yet, but that they were able to do that. So I sent the recording webpage from NASA over to Roy's site. Go there and pick that up once he posts that. And you'll be able to click on that and listen to the very first sounds from Mars. They say sounds will get better as time goes on. Way to tweak it up to pick up the higher frequencies that we can't hear yet. We have a way to do that. Once the seismograph is located on the surface, and eventually they'll cover over it, that capability will be out probably for the next couple of weeks. Might be able to do a couple more tests like this and listen to those past spacecraft. So with that, let me just drop and see if anybody has any questions on that site or anything else that's coming here. This is WS2N for the space portion of the segment. Okay, very good. Let me just cover this other story that China has. What they did last Friday, 2 days ago, China launched a rocket to the moon called Chang'e 4. Chang'e 4 is on its way, transport, so it's going to take a relatively long time to get to the moon. You know, when we launch our rockets, it's around 3 or 4 days. It's going to take a lot longer, a couple of weeks. But by January, maybe the beginning, expect this thing to be able to land on the far side of the moon. Nobody's been able to do that yet. Russians, the United States, and China previously have landed stuff on the moon, only on a side that we can see. They're going to attempt to land this on the far side of the moon. On top of that, they also have a rover attached to drive around. So I thought that was interesting to get to the moon quite a while. Back in 2013, they launched a similar flight where there was a lander, or rover. That worked out okay. Over the last couple of weeks, go through the nighttime on the moon, got a signal or two from it after the sun came up. Better. It does have an RTG on board. An RTG on the lander and on the rover. RTG means radioisotope thermoelectric generators to power these things. Indicate directions back on the far side of the moon, direct signals from Earth. Have a satellite that they sent up about 6 months ago. Part of this Chang 4 program. Put it into an L2 position. An L2 position is like 40,000 miles, like 50,000 kilometers behind the moon in a halo orbit. It's just out there and it's always moving around, but it's always able to see Earth, and it's also able to always see the dark side or the far side of the moon. Well, that Chi Chow, it's not even spelled like that, but it's pronounced as Chi Chow. It's actually spelled with a Q-I-A-U, pronounced Chi Chow. And that's the Chinese word, and it means bridge. So, no, that's their bridge between station, lander, rover, and Earth. On Earth, China has their own receiving antennas. Not allowed to use our deep space network today, but they have their own. And they plan on receiving the signals on S-band. So, rover and the lander, which will be sitting there, will be communicating with each other on UHF. We talked to each other that way. Telemetry and pictures back and forth. Then, they're going to transmit up to the bridge, this Reaper in the Sky that they put there 6 months ago. And from there, they're going to send it out it's going to go up on X-band, point something, whatever, gigahertz up to Peter, and then be retransmitted back down to Earth on S-band. That's the story on that. They have had a lot of it about this flight on the IEEE. Had some good information about it. Just find the website on that. Stop. I'll find it. where is it? We're going to find it in a minute. Add it up. I lost it. This is WS2N. Does anybody have any questions or comments? Portion of the night.
Yeah, I can tell you how to find it, Paul. You Google the word IEEE Spectrum, or Spectrum IEEE. You'll see the news stories of the December issue. And if you go down to the story entitled China Shoots Four Moons Far Side, you'll see a three-page article with lots of information about Chang'e 4. And if you go a little bit further down the page, you'll see the November issue. And the November issue has an article that's also pretty nice, labeled How NASA Will Use Robots Create Rocket Fuel on Mars. With nice pictures of hardware and how it works. So, Spectrum IEEE or IEEE Spectrum, and then look for these stories. And The Price is Right, it's a pretty nicely written article. More detail than you get from Newsday. Over to you, Paul, KQRIW.
Oh, okay, yeah. I had taken that long URL. I made a tiny URL out of it, so nobody on a computer, they just want to write it down. It's ps://, and they have tinyurls, tinyurl.com/, and then Y is Yankee, Charlie, Quebec, E is an Echo, 8, U is Quebec, T is a Tango, 8, that's, write it down, you can put that on your computer, IEEE, all that information that we just talked about. A lot more, and a couple of nice pictures of what these things look like. So, fortunately, it's not too easy to find any information about this particular launch anywhere else. In fact, they kept it top secret from the people. They launched it, they found out later that, it was successful, and they decided to make an announcement that shot this thing up. The people knew they were planning on it, but didn't know when it was going to go. I'm going to put it online, Anybody have any comments or questions?
Paul, am I correct in assuming that what they sent up before was the L2 orbiter, which I guess is now either in transit or already in operation, and what they just sent up on Friday, two separate spacecraft. One is a lander and one is a rover. It's kind of unusual to send both a lander and a rover simultaneously. I wonder if they start off connected together and then separate, or are they really two separate landings? What's your guess on that, Paul? WS2N, K2RIW.
Just one rocket. Tank-4 consists of a lander and a rover, so the rover is attached to the lander. After it lands, it will deploy the rover. One that's already there, that was launched up, oh, I don't know, 6 or 8 months ago, that was put into the Halo orbit a long time ago, and they had to make sure that was there and operational before they launched this thing, otherwise they wouldn't pay to do it. So they found out everything's working fine. In fact, that satellite, that launched an amateur radio Chinese satellite experiment with people listening to their signal. So I had one of those on board as well. But yeah, that thing's been sitting there in the sky waiting for Chang'e 4 to arrive. It's going to take about 6 different moves, different operations to land Chang'e 5 on the far side of the moon. The first 3 are going to be controlled by China Mission Control. They'll be controlling it directly. But as it gets closer to the lunar surface, it will be out of the radio contact. You'll have an LOS, loss of signal. From that point, it will take over autonomously. It will by itself, it will land and deploy the rover and start contacting the, I call it the bridge there. The repeater in the sky. And what they call it is a Gao, a Gao satellite. So that's what they're going to do. Similar to what, in fact, the same, really the same lander.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
I'm out of time. But the lander is, and the rover is very similar, except beefed up version of what they landed in 2013. The lander and a rover, I think the rover has brought around on the surface of the moon for a couple of weeks. I think they all copy us. When we sent Pathfinder to Mars, Pathfinder down and landed and the rover drove away. Same thing with the Spirit and Opportunity. He landed and back to there.
Now, when we land a craft on the near side of the moon, we usually choose a nice smooth area where in the early days of the moon, there was a lava flow, and you have these Maria, the Sea of Tranquility is one of those. The backside of the moon has got heavily pockmarked, much rougher terrain. So what's the unusual about this thing is they've chosen as a landing site for Chang'e 4, the middle of the largest crater. The backside of the moon has an extremely large crater, and that crater dug up a whole lot of mantle material. So they're getting a double benefit by landing in the middle of the biggest crater on the moon, which I think is a few hundred miles in diameter, because it's the only smooth area. So it's a smoother area than the rest of the moon, and they'll also see some of the deeper soil that had been dug up by that particular impact. Over to you, Paul, K2RIW.
Yeah, well, you know, had some autonomous landing equipment on board too. If it sees a real big boulder, it knows to go left, right, or to some degree. Well, landers have that now sight had it to some degree as well, but they weren't too worried about rocks. They knew whatever. Definitely, 2020 rover when we send that to Mars, that has real good electronics on board that will be able to tell if there's any rocks or anything in the way, because it's coming down into a pretty rough area. In fact, they're going to be near a cliff, and then the other way, they're going to be near a valley. But they've improved that on that capability, so I'm sure China, maybe they stole the equipment, the software or something, to figure out what they're doing. A lot of that stuff goes on. Back to you.
I don't have much more to add to this one, Paul. So we're back to you.
Okay, anybody else have any questions? Okay, nothing heard. This is a startup company called Astra. Astra, very secretive. I guess their goal is to probably launch secret government. They launched out of Kodiak. We have a launching facility up there. And sure enough, it failed. Both the ground and that seven engines, I think, on the blowing up. Fortunately, that's the way it goes. Don't know much about it because it's a secretive company. There's one that's not as secretive, you don't hear much about because they're a long way from launching. Well, the launcher company, L-A-U-N-C-E, developing a rocket, an engine, and you can't imagine where his company is headquartered in developing, you know, where he's drawing up the plans and everything, you know, trying to figure out what he's going to do, located in Brooklyn. But, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to realize that leaving Long Island was the worst mistake that Robert could have done. But this guy, he's located in Brooklyn, and that's firing rocket engines right now. Very small ones, but eventually they sized it up out in Calverton, out past Maine. Very small rockets testing away, and he plans on eventually having orbital flights by 2025. So it's real new. It's a real new company.
Repeater, timeout. Repeater, timeout. Cancel.
Yeah, I would make it out. But first time I heard somebody really doing something on Long Island, I thought that was great. Anybody have any questions? We'll see how good this guy does. You know, he has not many employees now, but he's got a good design. He's run some good tests on a very small rocket. Now he just wants to size it up. How he does. You know, I was thinking about Warwick and doing the same thing. Owned by Jeff Bezos. You know, he's coming to Long Island City. He's going to open up Amazon right here in Queens. Maybe the guy'll turn around and look and say, you know, you got a good workforce here. Maybe you should start building some of these rocket engines here on this island. Origin. Little I know, this company, guy's already got that idea. Any questions or comments? If not, we'll get back to you. We're running out of time. 4 minutes left. Yes, I will turn it back to you, Dick, and Roy. Very good, Ned. Guys, early on, and take the opportunity to continue on here with the space portion of the TechNet. Back to the K2RIW, WS20.
Paul, the small launching company on Long Island, who is their customer and what will they be launching? Over to you, Paul.
Well, he'll be launching it either, you know, for private companies or, you know, CubeSats, or he'll be launching something big. You know, for the government, Microsat, he thinks there's going to be hundreds of thousands of, you know, launches, you know, and he might be right with all these companies. They want to put internet sky, SpaceX, is going to have like 4,000. Another company, they're looking at 9,000. So, you know, you're going to need companies to do this. Plans on being one of them by 2025. Back to you, Dick.
To put thousands of objects in space so as to give everybody internet connectivity. My goodness, that's a lot of stuff in the air. Are they going to get approval to do that? Is there any... who's the major organization you have to have approval from before you can launch them? Let me pick a number, 5,000 things in space. Over to you, Paul.
Yeah, I don't know who they're going to go. Got to do that at low Earth orbit. You know, 300 miles up. Geosynchronous and Telsat. I'm not sure. This guy Holt, his name is first name. The company is Launcher. Oh yeah, Max. Max Holt. H-A-U-T. I watched a video on this guy. And, the reporter from Verge. Verge is a regular company. They went out to Calverton and watched a rocket tested. You know, the engine test itself. Yeah, thousands of launches. Look at what happened last week, a couple of days ago. SpaceX launched that from California. 64 satellites in one shot. 64, and they let them off one after the other. You know, I mean, thought nothing of it. India a couple of years ago launched 104 satellites back to this.
Did all 64 successful? And the 104, are they still airborne?
I guess some of them deorbit. I don't know, you know, what their plan was, but they launched them from different colleges and different universities and different countries. NASA has, I think, 10 CubeSats going up about a week on this Electron rocket from Gillen. You know, every satellite that's out of a wall for NASA going up. So the demand is there. Apparently, the approval for what these people plan on doing must be there as well. Back to you.
Okay, thank you, Paul, for all the space information. I'll turn it back over to Roy so he can give his website addresses one more time, just to be sure everybody's got those. And thank you for all that information you give us. All right, AC2GS for a final. K2RIW in a TechNet.
Anyway, thanks, Dick. Thanks, Paul. Always a pleasure. Everything is up on my webpage. The article about the winds of Mars, the IE Spectrum article. You don't have to memorize anything. Just click on it, and it'll get you there. Plus the other articles that I mentioned. And once again, the easiest way to that link is to go to roy.ace2es.com, and it'll take you right to the top of the webpage. You just click on it. And if there's any email you want to send me, once again, don't go through the website, because it's not me that you'd be going to. Go to mailbag@ac2es.com. So until next week, have a great week, guys, and it's always a pleasure to be here doing this.
WS2N, we lose the repeater at this time, so that happens. 73. We'll back next week.
Copy that, my friend. I'll catch you next time. And here's Marie. I'll catch you again. AC2ADS, New Jersey.
Fine business, and we're here from 8 o'clock till 12 o'clock on Sunday night. So, fine business. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Net tonight at 8:30. Welcome to the W2VL repeater.
2D2, are you on frequency?
Tonight at 8:30, this is the W2VL Amateur Radio Repeater System.
Thank you.
Net tonight at 8:30 WQVL repeater system. Tonight at 8:30, welcome to the WQVL repeater.
I never did find out what the problem was. It hasn't done it again. I checked the 3.5 25 years ago, and it still looks okay. So I don't know. I don't know what the problem was, but it seems to be working now. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the only thing is now, I think you said you're on the northern state, and that part of it, but you are, yeah, you must be coming in from Selden, but you're waking up, so I didn't catch everything. That you said,
Maury. Oh, okay. I switched over to Glen Oak. Is this better?
Yeah, I think so. It was a short transition. I'm looking for the boat to turn the volume down over the TV, which I thought, it sounded clearer, yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, you know, as you know, between around 110 and the Saxon coast is kind of a no man's land. For all the repeaters, it depends upon the phase of the moon, how many leaves are on the trees, the temperature, and how the Yankees did last season. That's what determines whether you can get it. I was just saying, I my external speaker went dead, and it seems to be working now, so I don't have a problem with it. We'll have to see how it goes. I'm going to be mobile for the next couple of weeks before I head back to Vermont. To work up there, so I'll have plenty of time to play around with it.
Now, Maury, are you heading east or heading west now? Because you thought it'd break it up again. You know, you were better in the beginning breaking up. Copyable, but breaking up.
WB2MSB, Roger. Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm heading westbound on the northern state, and I'm heading up to... So get on the LIE and then head up over the Frogs Neck to Bronxville, and I'll get better into Glen Oaks as I travel west. But this area is always tenuous to get into either one of the machines, whether it's analog or DMR, but to figure out which one is better.
Yeah, K2K, I mean, but you're getting better as you're coming, as you're heading west, obviously. Yeah, I mean, you're coming into the plane view, and that may have something to do with the location. And if we can do something about that at some point, change the location, the height of it, and maybe get coverage into that man's area. But, you know, much, much better as you're coming in there. And you're heading up to Bronxville today for what? I think that's where you said you were, Bronxville?
Roger, roger. I'm heading up to one of the hospitals up in Bronx, so I'm doing 11 to 11 today. As I was getting dressed, putting on a shirt and tie, the XYL said, hey, I thought you were retired, you know? So I told her, yeah, I am. This is my retirement outfit that I'm wearing. I didn't know there was a plane to 2 meter foot. I thought that you had to either go into Glen Oaks or to settlement. Is that what they call a voting repeater?
Yeah, the voting would pick up, so depending on where you'll be in Plainview, part of the problem is that sometimes two of the abiding, as far right now, you should be probably coming into Plainview.
Oh, okay, very good. Yeah, I'm just coming up on Route 110 right now. All right, I learned something. I didn't know that. I thought you had to either go direct into Selden or into Glen Oaks. So if I have the Selden frequency turned on and I'm here, will that still go into Plainview or does that have to go direct to Selden?
No, Selden is a standalone, no, I shouldn't say standalone, but when you go into Selden, there's a link, Glen Oaks directly. Medical center are linked into, but when they feedback out, they, you know, when thinking, they go, but come out of Glen Oaks as well as coming out of Selden. But Selden is Selden. You go into Selden, come down to Glen Oaks.
Okay, very fine. Okay, that's. I guess that explains a little bit of why I can leave it on Glen Oaks and carry much further east than I can carry west when I have it on Selden. So that explains it. And I guess the centimeter plane view is all by itself there, so that's good. And then, of course, we've got the DMR, so we've got a lot of stuff going. I haven't gotten involved in the 220 at all, but maybe next paycheck I'll see how much is left over, and maybe I'll pick up a little 220 HD or something and find out what that's all about.
20 repeater has very good coverage, similar to the coverage of Glen Oaks by itself. And it's quiet. And, you know, we also have a 146745. Lots of equipment. Anyway, I've got to go. I have Bryson here with Sweet Bryson, so I have to answer a question to him. So have a safe trip, Morty. We'll catch you later. Best of being KTK.
Okay, Rich. Very good. Thanks for answering my call. WB2MSB, and I answer to pretty much anything. So whatever you call me is fine. WB2MSB, 73 for now.
Tonight at 8:30, this is the WQVL Amateur Radio Repeater System. WQVL repeater system.
This is N2ZUC Mobile listening.
Got down in the Carolinas. Happy about that. Unfortunately, winter hasn't started yet. It's about to start. My fingers crossed that we don't get anything like they got. Maybe we'll get lucky. I've seen enough snow and I don't want to see any more. So, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm glad we're not getting one with what they are, like you say. And hopefully, you know, this will be, you know, winter getting its evil clutches out of the way. But, yeah, I'm with you with the snow. If I see it in photographs, I'm happy. I don't need to see it in person anymore.
I don't want to drive in it. I don't want to shovel it. I don't want to move it off the car. I don't want to do anything. Much more pleasurable to drive on a paved road rather than everything else, and all the problems, and wings. we'll see. So, hey, at least the Giants and Jets won. That's a rarity. Both football teams, New York teams won the same day. That's a plus. Gotta talk about the positive things. And I'm off most of this week. Now, unless I'm called in. But I got plenty of things to do, and I guess you're almost at work, like you said.
Yeah, Roger. I'm sort of in the same boat. Today is, you know, what we call our Friday. So I'm off the next 2 days, and then back to work on Thursday, but, because I'm on a rotating schedule, so, anyway, yeah, today's my last day, before I'm taking a couple of days off. I wanted to get some antenna work done, but, it's kind of cold, and I'm kind of at a, between a rock and a hard place in that, I need to string in a wire up over some trees. I can't throw it physically, and, although I've tried a few times, and, you know, I